Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of free Washington, soon to be Liberty State, and soon to be, I don't know, maybe the capital or maybe Moses Lake. I don't know. There's a big debate on that going on right now. Spokane Valley, brought to you by the committee to elect Matt Shea, Republican in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story in the news, behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. And actually, I saw a liberal try to use that the other day. Only when they used it, they were wrong. Ironic. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ. It's about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. It's about Ephesians 2, 5 through 6. God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. That means if we abide in Christ and Christ abides in us, everything that is under Jesus' feet is under our feet as well, because we're there with him and he's with us. And I think we miss that. We fail to walk in victory every day. We fail to receive the blessings that the Lord has for us. We don't ask according to his will, or we just don't receive him. I mean, think about that. He's our father. He wants to give us good things. You know, there's this great story about the prodigal son, and everybody focuses on the prodigal son when he goes and he's profligate and he just spends all his money and ends up eating the food of pigs, and then decides to come home, right? But here's the thing. We never focus on the other son, who was there the whole time, and complains, here you do this great feast, and the prodigal comes back. What about me? I've been here, I've been faithful to you. And all of the father's estate, all the blessings were his. He just didn't ask. We don't focus on that part of the story. There's another lesson there for believers. And that's not to say that, you know, the life of a Christian is going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. In fact, we should expect, Scripture is very clear about this, we should expect an increase, actually, in afflictions. The afflictions of the righteous are many, but God, and here's the corollary, God delivers us from them all. You know, you can't preach a prosperity gospel in Siberia or North Korea, but by the same token, you can't preach what essentially is a dead gospel in countries like the United States. And this idea that the Holy Spirit isn't working today. It's unbelievable that people still try to argue that. And if you ask them, hey, can you pray and watch somebody be healed? Can you pray for somebody to receive healing? And will it happen? Can you pray for the Lord to intervene in a situation? And will it happen? Then why is there this interesting move in the church today to really deny the power of the Holy Spirit working in our daily lives? I mean, it's like we're admonished to worship in the Spirit and in truth. It's not just the truth. It's the Spirit, too, guiding us through every single situation. And particularly in the days that we live in right now, where sometimes, I mean, even in the political, sometimes you don't know who's lying to you. Sometimes both people are lying to you, or both sides are lying to you. And you've got to figure your way through it. If we can grasp this concept that Christ abides in us and we are in Christ, and he sent his Holy Spirit to be our helper through all of the trials and tribulations on a daily basis. What a blessing that is. And there's some people out there, right? Some people out there will say that, you know, you bring stuff up like that, Matt, it's uncomfortable. Look, we have got to stop living behind the four walls of the church and start living out our Christianity beyond the four walls of the church. Our Christianity is something that should be every day of the week, not just Sundays and maybe on Monday morning. It should be every day of the week. And we want to know why things have happened, because we've allowed them to happen. And many of you have heard me, when you've heard me speak, and I'll bring this point up, you cannot lose an unalienable right unless you die or you give it up by acquiescence. That's the only two ways that happens. And a lot of times we are allowing things to happen by acquiescence. Now, I've talked quite a bit about Wolverine leadership in my talks, but I want to bring one point up there. All right. And it's simply this. Perseverance, defending our families, defending the values, beliefs, culture, and heritage that have made America great. And if you don't believe that, if you're out there, maybe you're an unbeliever and you think this whole thing with Christianity is just bogus, I would submit to you that you need to check out a book called Jesus in Beijing. You just need to read two pages, pages 5 and 6, okay? Jesus in Beijing by David Aikman. And the atheist communist Chinese actually did a study on what made America great. And their conclusion in that book document was, what made America great was Christianity. True Christianity lived beyond the four walls of the church. We've got to start doing it. And, you know, there are a lot of great pastors out there, but it's not just you. You're not the church. And I think that there's a misconception out there that pastors are supposed to be doing everything. They're not. They're supposed to be pastors. But they're supposed to be people going out and teaching. They're supposed to be people going out and establishing proper community-level government. There's people supposed to be going out there and holding people to account and doing it in love and helping people discover what their calling is in their life through the Lord. Supposed to be people out there evangelizing on the street corner. The church does not look like it should today. And I've just seen so much here, especially in the last few weeks. If we understand, if we believe what we believe is really real, that God can change the world through each one of us, then that's what's going to happen. In fact, that's the only way it happens. If we grasp that fact, we will see a fire ignited here in this area that will spread not just across the state, not just across the country, but across the world. People are looking to us as an example. And all of that honestly starts with humility and repentance. All of it. But we've got to, if we grasp that, that he wants to change the world through us, each one of us, it doesn't matter if you're a car mechanic, it doesn't matter if you're a salesman, it doesn't matter if you're a homemaker, it doesn't matter if you're a teacher, it doesn't matter if you're a doctor or a lawyer or a pastor, it doesn't matter what calling you have as far as a vocation, God wants to change the world through each one of you. Are you going to be that willing vessel? And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing. On the international front, in the Middle East, talked about the fact that Iran is very clearly infiltrating into Syria. The Israelis have struck several positions in Iran. There have been quite a bit of news stories on this. But the bottom line is that Iran is attempting to use Syria as a proxy against Israel, also against the United States, and use it as a jumping off point. Now, there is this gigantic argument out there, and I want to square folks away on this a little bit. You know, there's some people out there that say, you know, all the stuff we're doing in the Middle East is blowback. Yes, there are some policies that have led to repercussions in the Middle East. There is no question about that. But this predated this enmity of the radical Shias in Iran, the radical jihadis of the Muslim Brotherhood predated those actions. Understand that. Historically, they did. And if we don't grasp that, I think we approach the situation over there very naively. Very naively. Now, that's not advocating for unconstitutional intervention. It's not. But we have to understand those who would seek to destroy us. All right, I'm going to move into a few things. First, the United States, this is kind of the beginning of asymmetric war over there. As I've been talking about, Israel and Iran is really becoming a flashpoint. The United States and the United Arab Emirates have disrupted large-scale currency exchanges where this network was transferring millions of dollars to the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, Quds Force. These are some of the same guys, I think, that we ran into in Iraq. Interestingly, Syria, people focusing there, but Turkey, the Turkish lira plunged to its lowest ever point against the dollar, and immediately Erdogan, the Turkish president, came out and called Israel a terrorist state on Tuesday, May 15th. The lira, and this is key, guys, to understand what is happening over there. This is going to drive Erdogan probably a little closer to Iran. Again, they're not going to be a formal alliance probably, but on issues they agree on, like the Kurds, like the fact they don't like Israel, they'll work together. Turkish president, when he did this in the context of the lira losing 15% of its value in the past 3 months alone. Many analysts, this is coming from Deb Kafile, believe this was sparked by Erdogan's vow to take greater control of his government's monetary policy if he wins the July 24th election. What he's trying to do, is essentially establish dictatorship. That's what he's trying to do in Turkey, okay, and the resurgence of the Ottoman Empire. So very, very interesting what's happening over there. So you have Iran and now asymmetrical warfare in the banking world and in currency exchange against Iran, but also now Turkey, the lira losing 15% of its value. Now they're coming out and essentially trying to blame Israel. Also, and this got lost in the news, so I want to make sure I bring this up. There's actually a couple things that got lost in the news. Probably not a surprise to many of you. But Trump announced last week, last Thursday actually, that five ISIS leaders had been captured. And one of them was a top lieutenant to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. So there are five of the most wanted leaders of ISIS. So as the safe haven begins to shrink for ISIS, you're going to see more of these captures. They were lured from Syria to Iraq with fake Telegram messages, apparently. So that's a pretty big deal. And not a lot of reporting on that. You know, that happens, I guess. But you will hear it here on Patriot Radio. Also, on the international front. This again coming to us from Debka File. So the United States yesterday opening the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, and immediately the Palestinians riot and attempt to storm the border. Now, they did not make it through any of the border points. But there was over 50 people killed. Apparently, it was 24,000 to 30,000 people tried to storm the border. And this just in, actually, too, going back to Iran, U.S. sanctions are hitting the Iran central bank governors for supporting terror. The guy's name is Seif, it looks like. And it looks like they're reporting that the bank's assistant international department director was also deemed to have helped funnel millions to the of Quds Force dollars to the terror organization. So part of this next step, it looks like, in the asymmetrical warfare is going into the banking sector, and this central bank director being hit now with sanctions, or bank governor. All right. Well, I want to go next to Venezuela. We've talked about this. I want to mention it one more time. Starvation and suicides up, massive hyperinflation, 8,000% since last year as far as inflated currency. But there's also something very interesting occurring in Venezuela as well. And that is the fact that when money dies, you see people begin to relocate. And we're seeing that now, the New American reporting that there are a lot of people now trying to flee into Colombia, and Colombia is actually beginning to deport some of them and secure their borders. So we'll keep our eyes on that because, I mean, my goodness, I mean, that could really could end up anywhere. You know, as far as massive humanitarian crisis down there. But right now, refugees just overwhelming the Colombian border. Also coming from North Korea, Kim saying that the U.S.-South Korea military drills could scuttle the talks. Apparently, there hasn't been an official postponement, at least of what I know right now, but he's warning the president that, you know, don't do the military drills and expect us to be on equal footing. So we'll see how that plays out. Probably just posturing at this point. Also very interesting, this is from Fox News. U.S. weapons meant for Syrian rebels wind up in the hands of Al-Qaeda. That was under the Obama administration. So more proof, indeed, that weapons meant for Syrian rebels ended up in the hands of Al-Qaeda. Most of us suspected that, especially in the wake of Benghazi. Now we've got the proof. Looks like coming out of Turkey, this report on Fox News. And it wasn't just guns, but apparently U.S. military equipment and ammunition. Wow. And people warned him. We warned that that might happen. Unreal. All right. Also on the international front, George Soros' right-hand man arrested for rape and human trafficking, Howard Rubin, widely known as George Soros' right-hand man, has been accused of leading a human trafficking enterprise in which he allegedly raped, brutally assaulted, and enslaved women in an $8 million Manhattan sex dungeon, according to court documents. Howard Rubin is 62 years old and the former Wall Street trader. This coming to us from yournewswire.com. You're not really seeing this on the mainstream media, but it's very, very interesting that this is one of the first, and this was kind of out there as a shadow for about almost a year now, that high-profile people would be arrested in regards to human trafficking. This looks like it's one of those people. Wow. George Soros's right-hand man arrested. Now, I've got to give Viktor Orban in Hungary a lot of credit, because right now in Hungary, they are going after George Soros. His administration winning huge in the re-election, almost to the point that they may have a two-thirds in parliament, and really begin protecting Hungary by changing their constitution for more protections of freedom and liberty for Christians. Going after George Soros, and wow, his right-hand man. Wonder what will happen if the right-hand man will get thrown under the bus by George Soros. All right, moving to the national front. First, DARPA. Talking about a multi-domain battlefield management program to focus on, quote, kill webs. I'm going to be posting this up online, but this is essentially establishing multi-domain operations, in other words, multiple levels of operations. Instead of, you know, focusing on a land solution to a land problem, this is going to apply cyber solutions to a land problem, cyber solutions to an air problem, etc. So this is going to go across all domains, but essentially a kill web. If you're in the web, they're going to be using very sophisticated computer technology to make sure that you don't make it out of the web. I'll be posting that up. This coming to us from Technocracy News as well. All right, also on the national front, the Southern Poverty Law Center teaming up with Amazon. In other words, Amazon listening to them, so that they are now beginning to discriminate on Amazon's Smile program against Christian charities. So people have said this would never happen in America, and on and on and on. It is happening in America right now. Wow. Wow. Also, from the New American on the national front, millions in tax dollars stolen via welfare and sent to a terrorist group. This will get posted up here as well in the next couple of days. They're talking about, it sounds like a movie plot, but $100 million leaving the country and ending up in the Middle East and North Africa just last year. And apparently some of it was tax money. Wow. This coming from a New American, but actually originally sourced from Fox 9. Looks like it might have been out of Minnesota. But here's the interesting part about it. Former Seattle police detective Glenn Kearns discovered that some of the money was being funneled to a hawala in the region of Somalia that is controlled by the Al-Shabaab terrorist group. So we're going to have more on this later, but I guess nothing surprises me much anymore. Also on the national front, Attorney General Sessions buys some more time from contempt of Congress. Very clear now. Very clear now that the FBI has been stonewalling, and so is the Department of Justice, because there was a spy in the Trump campaign. Understand what this means, folks. The deep state used the law enforcement apparatus, the United States of America, to place a spy. It wasn't bad enough that they were doing electronic eavesdropping on the Trump administration. And that's been conclusively proven true now. Now, it's coming out that they actually had a spy in there as well. Wait a minute. If you're using the law enforcement apparatus of the United States of America for political purposes and political gain, that should be a crime. When are these people going to go to jail? And I hope that Nunez and everybody else there, Trey Gowdy particularly too, I hope that they take this seriously and prosecute these guys and don't let it stop there. Unreal. Also on the national front, Mitt Romney getting schooled by one of my very, very favorite apologists for Christianity, Ray Comfort. Robert Jeffress is a pastor from Texas, was used to say the prayer at the U.S. Embassy opening in Jerusalem the other day. And Mitt Romney essentially called him a bigot. problem is that Ray Comfort says very clearly that, look, he was just talking about what Christianity actually is all about. I think it's very, you got to be very careful throwing that around. And it's interesting that it's not coming from the left, it's coming from the right, or the moderate middle more accurately. All right, also on the national front, NSA triples collection of phone records. So again, warrantless, innocent, you know, Americans warrantlessly being targeted. And the NSA, instead of ramping down the amount of collection, triples it. And we're talking in the hundreds of millions of records that were collected. Also on the national front, this interesting thing coming out of the Oklahoma City bombing, on the heels of the anniversary, this DNA profile that the courts will not allow to be released. Nobody knows who it is. Doesn't match any of the victims. It's DNA from a leg. And one of the victims that survived actually sued to get that released, but the court wouldn't let it out. That raises a lot of questions, folks, a lot. On the regional front, still going through the weather modification document dump, 40 gigabytes worth of stuff. We're still going through it. We're going to see what is in there, if there are any, and this, I think, is the first dump, if there are any permits that have been issued here in the last couple decades in regards to weather modification, where it's happened, what was the result. Also on the regional front, Seattle coming up with this head tax to the point that Amazon is even saying, hey, we're stopping construction if you guys are going to do this. Just ridiculous. Just flying in the face of all economic laws and unbelievable. You can't make it up. You just cannot make it up. You know, and people try to argue a little bit with me on that. But the fact of the matter is that, look, if you tax a business based on the number of employees, they will have less employees. Taxes do not redistribute wealth. They redistribute people. It's a maxim to remember. Also on the regional front, industrial hemp rules still have until May 25th. To comment on this, apparently they're going to be doing a hearing in Yakima and in Olympia. And you can go on the Washington State Department of Agriculture's website and find that information. But I'm not hopeful that they're going to listen to reason on this, and unfortunately. And essentially the way that they've drafted everything is just prevented hemp from becoming a market in Washington State. They actually are going against some pretty clear ideas and principles, and the way it's being set up, I just am not seeing how the hemp market is going to take off. I'm just not. All right, also, on the regional front, Idaho having its elections today for the primary. Now, key races over there, Raul Labrador for governor, Russ Fulcher for Congress, among 35 other Liberty candidates at the state level. You could see a Liberty wave over there, and this is really going to be telling to show whether there's actually a red wave or a blue wave. I think it's going to be a red wave, and I think also that the base of voters is not just lying down, but that a lot of people are waking up and are becoming a part of it, and so this idea that well, it's going to be a red wave. All the people are staying home. Doesn't look like it's playing out. So I'm going to keep my eye on this throughout the show. Doesn't look like we have any results back yet as I'm perusing this right now. Also on the regional front, California literally putting in a Consumer Protection Act law to ban Bibles. Yes, it's true. Yes, it's happening in America. Yes, it's likely unconstitutional, but they want to do it, and they are driving forward with it. I don't know what else to say about that other than you got to be vigilant. All right, last but not least, on the local front, Red Pill Expo coming up June 21st through 23rd at the Spokane Convention Center downtown. Really excited to have the Red Pill Expo here. You can still get your tickets. Remember, you can use SHEA, S-H-E-A, as a code, and you'll get 15% off and save 15%. It was just announced as well that Lavoie Finicum, Dead Man Talking, is going to have its world premiere at the Red Pill Expo. Wow. Many other reasons to go, but that's a big one. I really am excited about that, that finally it's coming coming out, and Mark Herr and many other people have been working on that. So last but not least, this weekend, May 19th, Zilla, Washington, at Matt Bauer's Valley Covenant Community Church in Zilla, we're going to be doing a 51st state presentation at 12 o'clock noon. So this weekend, again, 12 o'clock noon, Valley Covenant Community Church, Matt Bauer's church down there. We're going to be doing a presentation on the 51st state. All right, that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for me and praying for the show. And please make sure you go to Patriot Radio US on Facebook. Like the page, share it with your friends and family. And that brings me to our guest today, the wonderful Pat Wood of Technocracy News. And I want to say a few words about Pat, because a lot of you probably don't know that he also is an author. And particularly, he is the author of the book that's really kind of changing the way we look at what's going on around the world, Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation. He also co-authored Trilaterals Over Washington, Volumes 1 and 2, and he remains a leading expert on the elitist Trilateral Commission and their policies and achievements in creating the self-proclaimed new international economic order. Pat Wood, it's always a pleasure to have you on Patriot Radio. Thanks for joining me today, my friend.
Howdy, Matt. I'm so glad to be on with you and to hear all the stuff going on up there. You know, I used to live in Coeur d'Alene or up in Post Falls. I just feel like I've just got transported right back home again, you know? It's very cool. And
well, look forward to seeing you here at Red Pill, too.
Absolutely so. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but right on the line here with me right now is Jeanette Finicum, who, of course, is the widow of the late Lavoie. And she's going to be speaking at the conference. Actually, she's going to be speaking Thursday night when we do the premiere of this film.
Well, that's excellent. Is she actually able to speak right now, or is she listening?
She can
listening
hear you, and she can speak.
Okay. She's there. Perfect. Jeanette, it is always a pleasure to have you on. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Well, I am all right. And I'm just happy to hear that this movie is going to premiere. Tell the listeners a little bit about it.
Yes, I'm so excited to announce this world premiere at the Red Pill. I'm so excited that the Red Pill is doing this. It's the story of Lavoie Finicum from the beginning of his journey, really, in his own words, using some of his clips. And so I'm really excited. Lavoie Finicum, Dead Man Talking, Part 1. That there is so much that we had to break it up into three parts just to be able to tell his story. So I'm excited that the Red Pill is going to premiere it.
So
on Thursday,
you know,
June 21st, actually.
Thursday, June 21st. And I'll make sure to plug that at the end of the show as well. But Jeanette, it didn't just stop with Lavoie and his untimely death. They really have continued to try to come after you as well. And if you wouldn't mind sharing just for a couple of minutes, what has been happening with you and where is everything at right now, especially with your summer and winter ranges?
Yes, for 2 years I fought to hold on to the right to own and to occupy my lease for winter range tuck up. And it was finally returned to our family on November 17th, and I'm so excited about that. My cows had a great winter out there this year. I've just spent 3 weeks on horseback rounding, branding, and moving them to summer range up in Nephi. I'm just renting it from a friend. I don't actually own summer range of my own, but that'll come in time. But it has been a step by step, one thing after another, from one bureaucracy to another. The government has been trying to give me a pain in my side all the way. But I'm determined. My family's determined. You know, we filed the wrongful death complaint, and we are pushing forward to have justice and accountability for Lavoie's murder.
If you can comment on what's the status of the case, I mean, where are you at in the process? Has discovery begun, and have summary judgment motions been filed yet?
I wish we were in discovery. No, we're at the process of fighting the dismissals. That's where we're at.
So they're attempting to just dismiss the cases outright, and you're now having to do everything you can.
Correct.
To stop that. Okay.
Right. There's 12 defendants that we've named, and we have to go and fight that on each defendant, because they're all going to try to squirm out of this. And we're determined to fight it to the end and to have a jury trial. Mm-hmm. We want the truth to come out. That's a big thing. You watch in today's headlines the FBI and how they continue to lie, hide, make up evidence, destroy evidence. We've got an FBI agent that's been indicted for 5 counts of lying and taking evidence from the scene in my husband's case alone. But then you look back into the Obama administration, where Loretta Lynch and Director Comey were in charge of the particular incident my husband was involved in, and you know dang well that they were just trying to cover their tracks, because all of the uranium issue with Russia and China, everything is coming out 2.5 years later now. But in the moment, they did all they could to try to cover their tracks. They had the media in cahoots, trying to control the talking points to ensure that the American people were brainwashed with their philosophy and what they wanted them to believe about Oregon, and the stand in which my husband and many others, the Bundy family, took, and in standing for the Hammond family that are still in prison to this day.
And I think that's important to recognize. They are still in prison. And I do know, though, Trump, when I put out a tweet on the Hammond family, @RealDonaldTrump retweeted my comments that they should be pardoned. And I still am holding out hope that the Trump administration is looking at a pardon. I know Sheriff Mack and his Freedom Coalition are pursuing that avenue right now. Have you heard anything about the opportunity that some of those people might be pardoned?
No, I haven't. And there's a whole list of people that need to be pardoned. Jake Ryan, you know, Todd Engel. There are a whole list of people that have been incarcerated and tried and found guilty, when others have been found not guilty. And I need to back up. You know, some of them took plea deals, and so they're in there because of the deal they took. But they should have an appeal process, I hope, that they can go to, and maybe Bush, I'm behind the time here. Trump, I hope he has a lot to say about this, and I hope he gets involved, and I hope he brings the Hammond family home.
I hope so, too. And I know that we have not still to this day received a response on the letter that we asked for the investigation, not just by the Department of Justice, but by Congress. And by other people in the Trump administration, in regards to how this entire matter was handled, both the trial in Oregon with Malheur and also the trial down there in Nevada. We still haven't, and this was state representatives, and we sent, a bunch of us sent a letter and still have not heard back. So I hope the Trump administration has not forgotten this. I'm sure they haven't, but I really would like to see this move along a lot quicker than it is. Have you heard any new details that have come out in regards to facts related to what happened to Lavoie down in Oregon that maybe the listeners can know about and that you can actually share because they're now public?
Well, some of the facts that I have heard about, that maybe others have too at this point, is that they were not they were told not to wear their cameras. They were told not to tape the interviews of the FBI agent that was indicted. They were There was more than one plane, is what I understand, and so there is more film of the incident. And I've always found that to be very curious. You know, we've got Google Maps. You can go on Google Maps, and you can count the blades of grass in your yard, right? Why did the FBI put up such a grainy video? I had someone just the other day, day before yesterday, ask me why LaVoy had a gun in his hand. I said, he didn't have a gun in his hand. He says, well, I saw it on the film. I said, he didn't have anything in his hand. All he had in his hand was on his hand was a glove, you know? And so it was such a grainy picture. And I think they did that on purpose because you couldn't see what was really happening.
It was very clear they tried to push that narrative. I mean, very, very clear. Even though, you know, for those of us that study constitutional law, just the very use of a dead man's roadblock, like they did that case had been decided in Brower versus Inyo County. And the fact of the matter is just the use of the roadblock by itself is the lethal use of force. And only in very specific certain circumstances can that be used. And those circumstances weren't present. In fact, as I understand it, it's been confirmed now that there was not a warrant out for LaVoy's arrest prior to this happening.
Correct. There was no warrant for anyone in either vehicle. That means, I mean, can you imagine? They're pulling people over and have a dead man's roadblock, and there's no warrant for anyone's arrest. Where do we live? Is this the America that we want to continue to live in? Is this what the founders had in mind for us? I think not.
I think that that's why there's going to be so many people at the Red Pill Expo. So, Pat, and I want to say this. You don't have to respond to this. I just want to say this, Pat. I don't know if it will ever happen that one day the mainstream media is going to say, Matt Shea, Pat Wood, Jeanette Finnicum, you were right. We're sorry. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I doubt it. But at least we can do the Red Pill Expo. And Pat, I want you to talk a little bit to the listeners about why the Red Pill Expo is so important, what type of speakers and topics are going to be covered, and also kind of break through this entire notion that, you know, Donald Trump got elected. We can rest on our laurels. We don't have to worry about anything.
That's the most dangerous thing facing America right now, in my opinion. People are they're developing a Reagan complex. That is a Ronald Reagan complex. We saw it back in the early 1980s where people said, oh, Ronnie's going to take care of it. You know, everything's going to be good. He's doing this. He's doing that. And the press and the liberals were railing against him, but the conservatives figured no problem for Ronnie Reagan. And so they sat back and they did nothing for 4 years. That was a very dangerous thing to do, and we're paying for it still. We have the same psychology going on now. People are so enthralled or trusting that President Trump is going to turn everything upside down and that the swamp's going to be drained, in fact. And it may be that he's making some headway, but that's immaterial. We have a leader in the White House. All great leaders, even going back to George Washington, all great leaders are just single men or women. Just one person can be a great leader. But no great leader won any battle by himself. They won it because of foot soldiers and you know, corporals and sergeants and lieutenants and whatever, to build an army, if you will, of people who could get things done. And that's how independence was won. And today, to look to a person like Trump to be our savior, you know, this man is not Jesus Christ. He can't just do stuff in our the stuff that we should be doing. He can't just do it. We need to do it. We're the ones that need to clean up our own communities. We're the ones that need to drive this stuff out. And we could be thankful, for sure, that we have an opportunity to do that right now because we have a Trump in the White House right now. But Trump is not going to save our communities, he's not going to save our counties, and he's not going to save our states. That requires people to be involved. And I know you feel this, I know you do too, Jeanette, because you're out doing stuff. It is a fatal error to think that one man is somehow miraculously going to save our whole country. It just isn't going to happen.
So let's talk a little bit about, and I've seen this actually, Pat, I've seen a lessening of attendance at some events here over the last couple of months, and it's very disturbing because these are events that normally people would be at for educational things. And then at other events, I see a whole ton of people show up. So it's kind of like, you know, some people are awake and ready and they're involved and some people are not. What speakers and topics are we going to have at Red Pill, and why should people get up off the couch to show up?
We have a bunch of different tracks, if you will, thought tracks. We have Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America coming to give us a straight scoop on gun control and what's really going on in our country with the gun control issue and the Second Amendment. We have two experts coming on healthcare to tell us what is going, why is healthcare still going downhill in America after we got rid of Obama? We're not rid of Obamacare, but the medical industry is falling apart right under our nose. Everybody knows it. Anybody that goes to a doctor knows this today. We're going to have attack the topic behind the deep state. What is the deep state? How do we know? Who are the people behind it? This really hasn't been done. We keep hearing about, oh, we're going to drain the swamp and kill the deep state, but nobody wants to name names. We're going to name names. Ha! We've got some economic experts coming that are going to talk about, you know, are we facing an economic reset? Are we facing a recession, a depression? What? People need to know this. It's our future. We need to be ready for it.
It is. And I think that that's what's so important, is to not just talk about the kind of overarching principles, but also about the practical application, and tell about the personal stories about what happens when we don't step up. And we have ranchers throughout the entire Western United States, miners throughout the entire Western United States that are literally losing their property because of overreaching government. I think that's what's so important. And Jeanette, you know, I so appreciate kind of the matter-of-fact way you tell your story, because I think what it does is it touches the hearts of people and then gets them involved.
Yeah. Well, I hope that people get involved, because it's going to take all of us. Like Pat was saying, we need to get up and get moving. We are losing all of our liberties right before our eyes, and most of us don't even realize that we are losing them. They're so busy in recreation or work or life is busy. I get it. I know. I spend half my time working and half my time trying to go out and tell the story. We have to continue to be actively engaged in talking about what is going wrong. What can we do to help turn it around? We have to be the ones involved in doing that. I'm excited for the Red Pill. I'm excited to learn more. You know, like I always say, I was a stay-at-home mom and grandma. I was the chuck wagon. I didn't run the ranch. I didn't do those things. But I am learning how to do all of those things now. And the big thing to me is my eyes were closed until it hit me in my face, until Lavoie was murdered, until it was right in front of us and we couldn't deny what was happening. That illusion versus reality. Oh, my goodness. For the last 2.5 years, you know, a friend of mine asked me, Debbie, she says, you know, what is the illusion that versus reality that you have been going through for the last 2? Everything. Everything has changed. Everything that I thought I knew, I didn't know.
Yep.
Because it was actually happening to me.
Go ahead, Pat.
Matt, you'll appreciate the last session we have on Saturday in the afternoon. We're going to have a panel. I'm going to moderate the panel, actually, but we're going to have a panel of people that will be giving short presentations, then a Q&A. This is going to be a panel on activism. What can you do? How can you do it? And we've got some top people coming from around the West who have been involved and engaged in active protests, doing stuff at the city level, at the county level, not legislators like you, but just people out doing their stuff, becoming City Hall, you know, getting right in their face and mixing it up and talking about policies and talking about this, that, and the other. We're going to have a panel that will show people how they can be effective in their own communities. This is not going to be theoretical. These are real people that are coming to testify to say, hey, this is what I do. This is how I've been successful. We've got people like Gary Galino coming from, he's Grindall 86, if anybody's ever heard of him, from Southern California. He has, oh my gosh, he has over 22 million views on the videos that he's put up from city council meetings and stuff like that in Southern California. 22 million views. This guy is just all over the place. And when they see him coming with his camera, they cringe. You can imagine. But we're going to tell it like it is. And you know, people need to get behind people like this. Maybe they can't be a Gary Gallino, but I'll tell you what, there's one in every community, and they need people around them to keep pushing them forward and to help out, you know, in the background stuff when stuff needs to get done. It's going to be an exciting expo. That's all I can say, Matt. And I, by the way, I'm really glad that you are going to, maybe you're self-effacing us, I don't know, but you are going to be the MC of this. Not only is it your area, it's your stomping grounds, but you know everything we're talking about at Red Pill Expo. You've touched all these different areas yourself at one time or another in the last 10, 15 years.
And Jeanette, did you want to say something?
Well, I am so excited about that panel you just talked about, Pat. That is practical advice and experience that we're all going to be able to listen to so that we can implement that in our own areas and start being the warriors we need to be. I'm so excited about it. I hope you all come.
Amen.
I hope so, too. And I this is one of those opportunities to network as well. I mean, this is where all of the big names and thinkers are going to be in one place. And what an opportunity to come together. And, you know, the left does these things all the time. They have quite a network, and they meet on a regular basis. And we could really learn from that part of it. This is a great time to get to know each other, formulate strategies, share ideas. And, Jeanette, like you said, if somebody maybe thinks they know a lot about a subject, there is always more to learn. And usually when you go to something like this where Pat Wood is, at least I always learn something. I would like to, right now, we've got about 2 minutes left, Pat, if you could just go ahead and plug Red Pill, where people can go, and again, just bring up a few of the speakers that are going to be here.
You bet. RedPillExpo.org is real easy to remember. Everything's on the home page. You can see all the speakers there. We've got, this is the brainchild of G. Edward Griffin, by the way. He's a senior American at this point, but he is still in the game and as an active as anybody I know. Robert Kiyosaki, the famous author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, is going to talk about financial issues. We have Lord Christopher Monckton coming from Great Britain. He's going to talk about, well, I'm not exactly sure. It's going to have something to do with environmentalism. Tom DeWeese, the hands-down expert on property rights in America, is going to be addressing us. We got Del Bigtree, the producer of the movie Vaxxed on vaccinations. Oh, my gosh. This is going to be tremendous. We got Larry Pratt. We got Trevor Loudon going to talk about communism, Marxist stuff in our government. Chris Martinson, a lot of people know him from peakprosperity.com. I'll be there. We got Jesse Lee Patterson coming, a pastor, a radio host. He's going to talk about racial issues, and we're going to bust that myth really good. Alex Newman, a writer for New American Magazine, is coming, a journalist. Oh, my gosh. It just goes on. We got Carl Tykerb coming from Canada. Debbie Bacigalupi is going to be there. Oh, my gosh. You know, Jeanette's going to be there. That's a good thing. Cynthia McKinney is coming. She is a spitfire. And that's I'm excited to have Cynthia. People look back at Cynthia's leftist past, and she does have one, I might add. But Cynthia has turned, I won't say turned around. She has blossomed and seen the light. She has taken the red pill, and she's on fire. She's just on fire, and people are going to love what she's got to say. We've got a great author from back east, Twyla Braze, coming. She's the head of the founder of the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. She's just written a book. It's going to be there for the first time debuting, called Big Brother in the Exam Room, and it's going to be a blockbuster. So that, you know, we got just such a list of great speakers, Matt, and we got a couple more to add. Chris Ann Hall's coming. She just got added to the list. So, you know, on goes the list, but we got about 25 people that are going to be speaking, top experts from all over the country.
I am so looking forward to this. I can't hardly wait, actually. Well, thank you both for coming on Patriot Radio today. Jeanette, God bless you, and thank you for everything that you're doing and getting your story out. And Pat, thanks for everything you're doing, especially with Technocracy News.
You betcha. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you both. Pat Wood and Jeanette Finicum, both going to be at the Red Pill Expo. You're going to see LaVoy Finicum. Dead Man Talking, the world premiere will happen on Thursday night, June 21st, at the Red Pill Expo. Also, like you said, there's going to be so many speakers there as well that are just the experts from across the United States of America. So check it out online, Red Pill Expo. You can always enter the code SHEA, S-H-E-A, and get a 15% discount. That's just for all of us Patriot Radio listeners out there. I just want to thank everybody for all the prayers and the emails that have been coming in regards to the freedom movement, the fact that we're all kind of coming together. And I just want to say this, you know, it takes a team to do this, and I'm glad to play my part, but it's not just one guy or two guys or one gal or three gals. It's everybody that's going to play a part. And you did hear that right. Pat Wood just officially announced I'm going to be the MC for the Red Pill Expo. So you hear it breaking on Patriot Radio, and I look forward to seeing everybody June 21st through 23rd. And again, you can go online to Red Pill Expo. I'm looking right now for the Idaho election results, and I still, still don't have a lot. Checking the Idaho Statesman, which I don't normally do, not a heck of a lot yet published. So say some prayers, some great freedom people running over there. You know, Raul Labrador, Russ Fulcher, Heather Scott, all up right now in the primary. You're going to see probably some pretty close races. So just keep your eye on it. Thank you for listening to Patriot Radio today. This is Matt Shea. May God bless all of you, and may he truly make this generation the greatest one.